talk about movies, maybe a joke or two. It's pod on the cob. It's pod on the cob.
Welcome to another bonus episode of Pod on the Cob. I am here with my good friend and co-host, Stephanie. Stephanie, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
I waved as if they can see me.
They may be able to see you because we may end up using this video recording. We haven't decided yet.
My wave was not in vain.
I do not think your wave was in vain. My name is Tyler, and Stephanie, did you know that Pod on the Cob is actually the only podcast that covers movies that feature corn in them? Were you aware of that?
You know, as a proud co-host of Pod on the Cob, I was aware of this, but I don't know if all of our listeners are aware of this.
That makes sense that you would know that, I suppose, since you are the co-host. Well, that is the conceit of Pod on the Cob. However, whenever we do bonus episodes, and this is a bonus episode, we kind of break from that mold and we sort of just talk about relevant movie-based topics that are top of mind for us at the time. So that's what today's going to be. Today's episode of Pod on the Cob, this bonus episode, is not really going to talk about corn too much, but we are going to talk about movies quite a bit. You can really support Pod on the Cob by listening to us, which you are already doing if you're hearing me say this. So thank you for that. You can give us 5-star reviews. You can write comments and reviews for us. You can tell your friends. You can also follow us on social media. We are Pod on the Cob on Instagram and on Blue Sky. We're on YouTube. We have a TikTok now that...
Look at us.
It's kind of fucked up because people always give us way more love on TikTok if it's a TikTok that features you and not a TikTok that features me.
I'm just a crowd favorite. What can I say?
That's how it feels to me. I think we just need to really put the spotlight on you more often.
Okay.
One thing I did want to say before we go too deeply into today's topic is that we are recording remotely, which is not our favorite way to do the podcast. We both prefer to do it together in person. I'm not going to go into the details of what's going on, but I am traveling to visit some family and to kind of address some things that are happening with my family right now. So I couldn't be back home to record. So if the audio is a little different, that's why. We're going to try to do our best. Also, Stephanie has a cold again, which is a constant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just my reality.
It's just the way life is. Okay, all right. So today's topic for our bonus episode is actually a fan-requested topic. I had multiple people come to me and say that this was what they wanted us to talk about. So we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the past and the present and the future. We're going to talk about all three. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to talk about the 2024 Oscars. And we're going to talk about...
I felt like you paused for, like, applause. The 2024 Oscars. And
we're going to talk about things that are coming out in 2025 that we are excited to see. Bonus episodes, they are more casual. We're going to cover these things with a little more of a loosey-goosey plan than normal. And we'll see how it goes. How's that sound to you, Steph?
Sounds great. We are more casual. We have less corn. Welcome to a bonus episode.
Welcome to the bonus episode. So let me ask you a question, Steph, to get things started.
Okay.
Did you watch the Oscars?
I know this is a safe space. So I feel comfortable and only a small amount of shame when I say no, I did not watch the Oscars this year. Actually, I don't know if I've ever watched the Oscars, to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever just like sat down and like put the Oscars on and watched it. So what about you?
I also did not watch the Oscars. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is our show for this.
So these are our qualifications. We did not watch the Oscars, yet here we are to discuss them.
We did not watch the Oscars, but I know both of us did watch some Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning films. And I figured we could still talk about what won, what was nominated, and how we felt about everything overall.
You don't necessarily have to watch the Oscars to be like keyed into the Oscar buzz and like the conversation that is the Oscars. So
totally. Yeah. I rarely watch the Oscars. In general, I'm coming to find that the older and more like cynical I get, the less I really enjoy the worst thing about the entertainment industry is everything that happens in the entertainment industry outside of like the art.
Yeah.
I've never cared about like celebrity gossip, and I do not care about award shows. So it's not just an Oscars thing. Like I never watched the Grammys or anything like that either.
Yeah.
Just don't care. I don't care. But I don't really care about what wins awards either, but we're a movie podcast, and I am kind of curious to sort of talk about how we feel about the awards and who won and stuff this year. So let's dive into it. So I figured we could kind of start by looking at just some of the big winners of the night.
Okay.
And whether we saw them or not, first off.
Okay.
And secondly, you know, and then we can kind of talk about like what else was nominated and some of the other things. But the big winners, all right, the big winners for the 2024 Oscars, coming in at first place with 5 wins and 6 nominations was Anora. Anora won Best Picture, won Leading Actress. It won Best Directing, Film Editing, and Original Screenplay. It was also nominated for, did I say 6? It was nominated for 6 Oscars as well.
Wow.
Let me ask you right now, did you see Anora?
I have not yet seen Anora.
Dude, I watched it last night.
Okay. I was going to try to watch it this week, but I just didn't have the time. It's definitely on my to watch list, but what did you think?
I really liked it a lot.
Okay. I have a feeling I'm going to like it.
I have a feeling you're going to like it too. For people who haven't seen Anora yet, the premise is it's about a stripper in New York City who basically garners the attention of this like Russian oligarch's like son, who's like just like an absolute like richer than rich, stinking rich, but he's like a, you know, trust fund kid. It's basically about their whirlwind romance. And the fallout of that whirlwind romance. And it kind of just raises questions about like lots of things, like your place in society, how you're viewed by others, sort of like based on like what you do for a living or like what, like, you know, social class or whatever you're in. It's really good. I felt like it dragged here and there. He's kind of got Sean Baker's the director. And he makes a lot of like slice of life, like real life feeling movies. And I mostly like that. But it has like a little Jim Jarmusch quality or something where there are scenes that felt to me like I was kind of like, I'm kind of ready to move on from this. But honestly, it culminates in such a great ending that I'm wondering if maybe it's just fine the way it is. And it's good that it's the length it is, because I really enjoyed it a lot. I know it's being very hyped right now, and I keep reading comments online where people are like, this movie is overhyped, and I went into it, and I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to, but I did not feel that way. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same. I don't really feel like it's overhyped. I'm kind of just like right at that right level of hype where I'm like, all right, I'm ready.
Really curious to see what you'll think of it. I think you'll really like it.
I think I will too, just based on the trailer. I did watch the trailer.
Mikey Madison is the actress that plays the eponymous main character, Nora, and she is definitely, I can see why she won. She was incredible. It also won Best Directing. Yeah, that made sense to me. We can kind of talk about the categories maybe a little bit later on. Editing and OG screenplay. Definitely the screenplay was very tight, very human. The dialogue felt authentic. It felt like a movie that wasn't cinematic. It felt like a movie that was like truly about people.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. With 3 wins coming in at second place, The Brutalist, that won Best Actor for Adrian Brody, Original Score, or I guess just score, and cinematography, and it had 10 nominations.
Wow. Did you see this one?
I have not seen this. Have you?
I have not.
Okay. All right.
I'm 0-2. I've heard like fine things.
Okay. Yeah. What have you heard?
I mean, just, I think just the criticism of Adrian Brody and like him kind of being like, I don't know, maybe shitty to work with or whatever.
Oh, okay. All right.
So take that as you will, but that's all I've seen and heard.
So more like inside baseball things, like, you know,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like interpersonal or like whatever. Yeah.
Cool. I've heard good things about The Brutalist. I've heard it's kind of long, which is such a stupid thing to complain about. That's not really stopping me from seeing it, but I have heard people say it's really long and it kind of feels long. I heard Adrian Brody's great in it, and I did hear the cinematography was like beautiful. So I guess I'm not super surprised to hear that it won best cinematography. But yeah, neither of us saw it, so I guess we can't weigh in on it too much.
Well, I will argue, I do think saying something's too long is a valid reason to not like something. And that's,
yes.
I will get off my soapbox.
No, I think that's fair. I do think that's fair. I also, you know, will validate what you said about Adrian Brody, because I often hear pretty bad things about Adrian Brody. Like, I've heard that he's like, just like the way he shows up on set and stuff like that.
I've heard he's
not the nicest guy. Yeah. Okay. Coming in at third place with 2 wins and 5 nominations was Dune Part 2. Which, if I remember, was not like your favorite movie of 2024.
But finally, one I've seen.
Okay, yeah. It won for best visual effects and best sound. Make a lot of sense. Movies like that tend to kind of win awards like that.
That makes sense. I don't disagree with that. I didn't love... I am a lover of the story and the world of Dune. Like, I've read the novel. I haven't read all the other ones, but it's... I like that world. We've talked in previous episodes about the David Lynch Dune with Kyle MacLachlan, and how much like we love that movie. These newer ones, I'm just kind of like meh about. Like, they don't like. I like to see them because I like the world enough and I know the story well enough to kind of be like, oh, that's that character, or that's whatever. But I don't know. I think it could be more compelling, and it could be, I don't know. I just kind of think of like what it could be. It could be less, like, I want it to be less Hollywood, like less just like, like it's Zendaya and like, I don't know. I wish it was just like more the story and the characters. Like, I wish it was more grounded. I don't feel like it's a very grounded franchise so far.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. I feel differently. I especially liked Dune Part 1. I thought Dune Part 1 was like so... It's funny. It's kind of funny to me to hear you say that they feel Hollywood to you, because the second one did feel very Hollywood to me in more ways than the first. But the first one is like... I love that people like the first Dune because it's so like... unconventional and boring in a good way. Like, I really like the first one. It's all like incredibly hard to follow dialogue around subjects that they don't spoon feed you, and really slow pacing, especially at the start.
Right.
So
that's
I do like this franchise. I liked Dune Part 2 less than Dune Part 1. And I don't really get some of the nominations it garnered. Like, we will talk about the nominations more later on, but it also was nominated for Best Picture, for example.
Yeah.
And like, I don't really think that makes a lot of sense to me. You and I, this is one of those areas where you and I sort of differ. Like, I love the David Lynch Dune. We talked about it a lot in our second bonus episode. And it's just a special kind of neat, quirky little movie. But Dune, I like Denis Villeneuve as a director. For me, the weakest things about the Dune movies are some of the performances. I agree. And I guess this is probably going to come up later on because he's nominated for Best Actor. But like, I'm sorry, we're going to lose so many followers when I say this, but I have yet to really understand the Timothée Chalamet thing. I've seen him in a few movies and I just never quite get the hype.
Yeah.
I don't think he's bad, but I think he's overhyped. So yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about him?
I really liked him in Little Women, and that's kind of where it ended. That was sort of earlier on in his career, like he wasn't as like massive. And so maybe that just plays a part in my impression of him. I don't know. But
Yeah. I mean, we have reviewed a movie that he's in for the podcast because he was in Interstellar.
I know. I love that. He was the poor ignored son. But for the most part, not super impressed, especially with him as Paul Atreides, because like I love Paul Atreides. Right. And I mean, he's not horrible. I don't want to be like a hater. It's not horrible. And I'll see all the movies. But I just do kind of like there's that little thing in the back of my mind that's like, oh, but it could have been like a little better. It could have been like less about that and more about this. But yeah.
I he's no Colin McLaughlin, right?
That's true.
We can agree on that. Yeah. I mean, he ironically enough, the only thing I really liked him in was a movie I hated. I hated that movie, Don't Look Up. By Adam McKay.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ironically enough, I really liked him in that because he was like so out of type.
He wasn't bad in that one.
I haven't yet to really, I think he's pretty one note as Paul Atreides. And I just don't quite see it yet. But I also haven't seen Call Me By Your Name, which everyone says is, you know, the movie you have to see with him. And I haven't seen Little Women. So I'll give him a chance. Okay, so actually there was two movies that garnered, three movies that were two Oscar award-winning movies this year. So Dune Part 2 was one of them. The next one was the heavily maligned and infamous musical Amelia Perez, which I did not see. Did you see that? Either.
No, I did not.
Have you followed sort of some of the reactions to it and things like that?
Yeah, I've just been like very kind of like no touchy sort of the buzz around it, like the anti-trans stuff is just like I'm not gonna mess with that.
It is kind of stinky from all the, like we said, inside baseball stuff, like when you're talking about Adrian Brody and the Brutalist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit stinky. That's also not my kind of movie. I don't really like musicals, which is ironic. We'll talk about why that's ironic later on. But I'm not a big musicals guy. And the songs I have heard from it, I know they're like memes now. And I'm sure people are just showing one snippet of these songs to make people hate the movie. But I keep hearing that snippet where it's like, penis or vagina. Okay. And like, I just can't stop listening to that because I think it's so funny.
Oh,
but yeah,
boy.
It won... Amelia Perez won, Zoe Saldana won
for
Best Actress in a Supporting Role, and it won Best Original Song for El Mal.
El Mal.
It was nominated for 13 awards.
13. Yeah, wow.
That's insane. Everyone thought that one was going to win everything, and then it like started to like get made fun of and maligned. And then it like won like two things. So it's kind of funny like how that kind of fell from grace.
Yeah.
And the last movie that won more than one Oscar this year was one of your favorite movies of 2024 and also a musical, Wicked.
Let's go.
Yeah. 10 nominations. and it won for Best Costume Design and Production Design. I did not see Wicked, but you famously did see
Wicked, and you talked
about it. Well, hey, we'll get to that, right? Wicked news that we're going to share at the end of the podcast.
Some wicked news.
But tell me, it won for Best Production Design and Best Costume Design. What do you think?
Oh yeah, totally. I see that for sure. Some of the best parts of the movie were like the design elements. The costumes were amazing. From what I've like seen online is that they tried to stay kind of close to like the original stage play costuming, like the aesthetic or the theme of the costuming, but they also branched out a little bit. I loved it. What more can I say?
Yeah, it was one of your favorite movies. We will talk about Wicked a little bit more later on.
Yeah.
Uh, Some other notable winners that I just wanted to point out really fast, and then I thought maybe we could just kind of like look at the nominations for some of the categories and sort of talk about those a little bit.
Yeah.
I have the list pulled up on my end. I don't know if you want to look at it as well, but I have it on my end. But Conclave won for Best Adapted Screenplay. I really want to see this. I still haven't. I was actually supposed to watch it before we recorded this episode, and it just something kind of got in the way. But yeah. I'm very curious to see Conclave.
Yeah, I haven't seen Conclave. I did almost watch it like 3 nights ago, so I watched the trailer. It's definitely intriguing. It's kind of one of those things that I'm a little bit like, I need to be in the right kind of mood for, because it mm-hmm. seems kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the like acting is good, and like it looked good. I liked the actors in it, so...
It's an intriguing story, and the timing of it is so weird with what's already going on in real life with the Pope.
Right.
I like Ralph Fiennes a lot. So
yes, same. Same.
Okay, then Kieran Culkin, who I love, and I think love him too. Yeah. We're big Succession fans over here at Pod on the Cob.
Yeah, we are.
Kieran Culkin won for best support actor in a supporting role. For the movie A Real Pain, which I also have not seen.
Oof, I've seen it.
Well, tell me about it. What'd you think?
I've seen it. Oh, I really liked it. It's funny. I definitely think he deserved the Oscar. His character is incredible. And he portrays that character, that person. Like, we all kind of know this person that he's portraying. And he does it really well. So it's, like, funny, but it's also kind of heart-wrenching. Like, it's pretty sad. And like it kind of touches something like deep, but I liked it. It was a good movie.
Cool. I'm curious about it. It looks like my kind of movie. I think I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay. All right. And then a movie that I had never heard of until the Oscars called Flow won Best Animated Feature.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Have you?
No, but I'm intrigued by it. It's like, I don't think there's any dialogue in it.
No, I watched the trailer again. Another one. I watched the trailer for the other night that I almost watched. But it's like just the animal sounds. So like the cat, like meows and stuff. Yeah. And it reminded me a lot of this video game called Stray that I've played.
Yes.
With the cat. And you like go around town or the city and you kind of uncover these secrets and whatever. But the animation seemed very video game-y to me, and kind of the way it looked, and granted it was a trailer, so it's just showing the like peak adventure parts. But the plot almost felt very like video game, like adventures and quests and stuff. But yeah, it looked cool.
I think it was really, really independently made. I think it was like made by like, I don't know all the details, but I think it was even made by like maybe like a single person, or something.
That's incredible.
I'm probably butchering that. But I know that it was made like people were kind of noting that it was up against Inside Out 2 and like, you know, the robot one by the DreamWorks.
The
one.
Wild Robot.
The Wild Robot. And those movies had like, you know, I think Inside Out 2 had like a $200 million budget. And everyone just kind of saying like, it's kind of cool that like this little guy ended up winning.
I was
excited. I haven't seen any of the best, the nominees for Best Animated Feature, but I was glad that one won. I was glad it was like an underdog, a kind of interesting movie won, right?
Yeah.
The last one on my list here, I did see. It won for makeup / hairstyling. And it was The Substance.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, really liked it.
Right on. That's on my to-watch list. But you liked it?
I really liked it. It's like right up my alley. It's just like my kind of movie. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
For anyone who hasn't seen The Substance or doesn't know what it is, it's kind of like a horror movie. It's like a body horror movie. And I'm just so like... pleasantly surprised that a movie that's such a weird non-Oscar-y kind of genre ended up getting nominated and winning something. I do think that it deserved the win for makeup and hairstyling. And I would, we'll talk about the nominations in a second, but I would give it some, there's some other nominations that I think it maybe also would have deserved to win. but it's really good. Really good. And yeah, I definitely recommend it, but it is also fucking gross. Like, so goddamn gross.
Oh.
So like, be prepared for like, it's not just, it's not violent. There's like one violent part. It's like bloody gross, like body horror gross, but it's also just gross. Like there's
okay,
a lot of,
ew.
there's a scene where it's this just a close-up, slow motion close-up of Dennis Quaid eating shrimp that he's dipping in mayonnaise. And it's like the foulest thing I've ever seen in a movie in my life. It was
so nasty.
Yeah, that's
like a nightmare. Mr. Anti-mayonnaise.
I do not like mayonnaise. I do not like mayonnaise, especially on my corn. I do not like elote.
Oh, damn. I love elote.
Okay, so those are some of the big kind of notable winners. I wanted to just kind of look at some of these like nominations because you know, we covered like the winners. There's some other things I wanted to cover really fast. So
okay.
Looking at Best Picture, the Best Picture nominees were Wicked, The Substance, Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, Amelia Perez, Dune Part 2, Conclave, A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora. Super long list of nominees. Out of those, I saw The Substance, I saw Dune Part 2, I saw Anora. So I only saw three of the movies that were nominated. And from what I saw, I think that Anora beat those other two that I saw by a landslide. It was by far my favorite of the ones I saw. But I'm curious, because I know that there's some of this list that you did see, like you saw Wicked.
Yeah. I've only seen two of the list.
You saw Wicked and Dune Part 2.
Wicked and Dune Part 2. Honestly, neither of which I think would deserve an Oscar for Best Picture.
Okay, yeah.
You know, as much as I liked Wicked and whatever, however I felt about Dune Part 2, I was actually kind of surprised that they were Oscar winners.
Yeah, I was really relieved when I saw Anora because I didn't think that The Substance or Dune Part 2 were movies that I felt like were, I couldn't see them as like Best Picture winners personally. And of course it's comparative, right? It's compared to what else is out that year. So you have to keep that in mind, I guess. But yeah, I was really, really relieved when I saw Anora. And I'll just say this right now. We have a bonus episode that was our favorite movies of 2024 and our least favorite movies of 2024. And had I seen Anora by the time we recorded that episode, I would have said that it was my favorite movie from 2024 that I saw.
Oh.
Not my favorite movie that I saw in 2024. I don't think it would have knocked my top three off the list.
Okay.
I think I said like Mad Max Furiosa was my favorite movie I saw from the year 2024. And I think I probably would have said it was Anora instead. So yeah, really great. Highly recommend
it. Right on. Okay.
For Best Directing, Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Amelia Perez, and The Substance were nominated. You didn't see any of those?
No, A Complete Unknown? I'm like, dude, really? A like biopic?
Yeah.
Like with Timothy Chalamet?
Dude.
I just, no interest in seeing that one.
I can't even express to you how little I am interested in Complete Unknown.
No, like negative interest, like... Here's just no interest. I'm like down here. For those of you who can see my hand.
That does actually take us to Best Actor in a Leading Role, which Timothy Chalamet was nominated for.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the movies that were nominated in this category, so I don't know. You know, Adrian Brody won.
Took it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good actor, you know, so I'm not surprised.
In the Best Actress in a Leading Role, Mikey Madison obviously won for Anora, but Cynthia Erivo and Demi Moore were both nominated. There are other people nominated as well, but I'm just listing them because they're from the movies that you and I saw.
Yeah.
I will tell you that I think that Mikey Madison was better than Demi Moore, and I was rooting for her to get it. How did you feel about her? How did you feel about Cynthia Erivo?
I mean, again, I think Wicked. I loved the movie. And I think, you know, it won the Oscar that it deserved, or the two that it deserved. So, it, you know, she was great. But as far as like an Oscar winner, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I didn't see any of the movies that were nominated for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. You saw Wicked. Ariana Grande was nominated.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, even less than Cynthia. I don't think that was... I think it's one of those things where it was a huge movie, had a huge budget, it was highly anticipated, it was well received, so it just got a bunch of nominations, you know? And totally. I love you, Ariana. I'm not a hater, but I just think as far as like acting and in that performance, I don't think she was robbed of that win.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. As far as best writing goes, I saw two of the movies that were nominated. You didn't see any of them.
Yeah.
Anora and The Substance. Anora won. Anora definitely was a stronger screenplay than The Substance. So I was happy with that. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I forgot. You saw Real Pain.
And
Real Pain was nominated.
Oh, that was so well written. Like I said before, it felt real. Like it was relatable, which I think can be good and bad depending on, you know, what you want going into seeing a movie, I guess. Because it navigated like family and like mourning and loss and relating and mental health and like, you know, loving and supporting people, and which is just like very powerful and relevant, especially like to us in our age, you know, because like they're millennials and like we're all kind of at that phase in our life, and you have people you grow up with who you love, and you know, it's just a good movie, but it is sad, so but yeah.
It's interesting to me because it really is a battle of the two realistic scripts in my mind in that case, because Anora, I would say all the same things about it. It's all about, like, it feels so real and grounded and human. I never had a moment during it where I was like, this feels like I'm watching like a movie. Like, I really felt like it was so relatable, not relatable necessarily, but it just felt so human. So I'm curious, I want to watch A Real Pain and kind of see which of them I think tackles that realism a little bit better. But yeah, interesting. Good to hear. I'm glad to hear you explain that. Moving on to just some other categories here, you know, I think that like Dune winning best sound makes a lot of sense. I will say that I'm kind of surprised The Substance wasn't on this list. I thought The Substance had really, really great sound design. There's a lot of like gross, gooey, smushy sounds in it. And I was a little surprised to not see this on here, but, yeah, a Dune Part 2 makes sense to me. Best production design, Wicked one. We talked about that already. The only things I saw on the list were Dune Part 2 and Nosferatu. And I can just tell from what I've seen of the, like... Well, first off, I don't think Dune Part 2 should win production design when it's the pretty much same production design from the first movie. That feels a little kind of unfair to me. Nosferatu was great. It did have good production design, but, like, Wicked does seem like it's really impressive in that area. So not super, like, surprised by that.
Yeah.
Last things on here, visual effect. I'm just going to skip ahead because I think this is incredibly funny. It's going to make me laugh hysterically. Actually, hold on. One more thing before I do the funny thing. Film editing, Anora won. I am shocked that Substance wasn't nominated, and I would have said I liked the editing in that better. I really, really liked the way that they cut the Substance, but. Wasn't nominated, so whatever.
Yeah, shout out to film editors Nina Velotta, who we've mentioned several times. She is a film editor herself, has been working on some cool projects, but
yeah, she's helped us a ton get film editors off the ground. Okay, and then best visual effects are Dune ended up winning, but I had to read this category because it made me laugh so hard, because one of the movies nominated for best visual effects was one of your absolute favorites from last year, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Wow. Can you believe it got a nomination? I bet they were so proud of themselves and just happy.
You literally said in your review of it, some of the special effects were good.
Or fives.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my God. I kind of just want you to see that movie just so you understand, you know, the plight that those of us who have seen it have gone through.
I really just can't. I can almost promise you I'll just never see that movie.
That's okay. That's okay.
I will say that Alien Romulus was also nominated, and I did see Alien Romulus, and I didn't really like Alien Romulus that much. And I'm also kind of laughing at the fact that it was nominated because, yes, it does have some really, really cool practical effects. And I want to make sure if I'm about to bash it. So before I bash it, I really want to make sure I say that it does have some really, really great practical effects. And visually, it actually was a very cool movie. But, and spoilers right now, spoiler alert for Alien Romulus, but there is a horrible deep fake AI Ian Holm throughout the movie. Ian Holm was in the original Alien. He passed away and they wanted his character to still be in it for like just Easter egg nostalgia bullshit reasons.
Right.
And the deep fake of him is so distracting and bad. And it's just funny to me that like something, and it's a big part of the movie, dude. Like he's in it a ton.
Oof.
Yeah, brutal. So I don't get that one at all. Yes, the rest of it was great, but that one is when you have such a when my biggest complaint about a movie is a literal visual effect, I just can't really see it being the best visual effect award winner.
Yeah.
Wicked was also nominated for best visual effects. What do you think?
Yeah, it had great visual effects. That's it. It had great visual effects. Like, you know,
right on.
You're just gonna have to see it for yourself to know.
Well, maybe, you know, like I said, we do have some Wicked news coming up in a little bit here. So we can talk about whether or not I'm going to see it soon. We can talk about that very, very shortly. But let's move on. We talked about the past and the present to some degree. And let's talk about the future. The future. I asked you before we went into today's podcast, what are some movies coming out later this year that you are excited to see? And I'm curious what your response is.
Do you want me to just start with one? Because I wrote down six.
Just go for it. Just give us your list. Let's go.
Okay. So I looked up a list, and I think it was just like a Rotten Tomatoes list of like anticipated movies for 2025. The list had them ordered by like the month they were going to come out, so like chronological release date. So the way I have them written down is not necessarily in like order of me really wanting to see them over another one. So the first one I have written down is Mickey 17.
Yeah, that's on my list as well.
Okay, so this one has Robert Pattinson in it. The director in this movie is the director from Parasite, who didn't that win Best Picture? Like in the Oscars, whenever it came out a couple years ago.
Yes. Yeah, it did. 2019, I want to say. 2019.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. And it kind of just looks like an interesting, like it looks intriguing. It's like a sci-fi thing. It's an adaptation of a sci-fi novel. And it looks kind of cool. I like Robert Pattinson, so.
Yeah. Isn't it nice that people like Robert Pattinson now? Because like people didn't used to, and
well,
like now
I always
they do.
Liked him, so, but I was a teenage girl when Twilight was coming out, so I was allowed to like him. But
I love him in The Lighthouse. Yeah, I like him too. He seems like a cool person. Also, like
I know he does. He does seem cool.
Mickey 17 was also on my list. I'm very excited to see that. Yeah, very excited to see that.
Do you want to hear my next one? Okay, my next one is Death of a Unicorn.
Oh my gosh, I don't know very much about this movie, but one of our fans wrote in and said that was their most anticipated movie.
Oh, no way. Yeah. So it's starring Jenna Ortega and Paul Rudd, which I like both of those people.
That's a great cast.
And it just kind of seems like I watched the trailer of it and it just kind of seems like offbeat, like kind of funny, kind of like weird. I mean, it's in the title, Death of a Unicorn. They like run into a unicorn in their car and kill it, and like it kind of spurs the story, the adventure. It just kind of looks fun.
Is that an A24 movie, do you know?
I think so, yeah.
It feels like an A24 movie.
I'm pretty sure, and I think that kind of gives it a leg up for me of like why I want to see it, because it's A24. I feel like I trust I trust them.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I've got a couple A24 movies on my list as well.
You share one.
Okay, mine, I also had Mickey 17 on my list. Since you did an A24 movie, I'll just say there's two A24 movies that look like kind of classic A24 horror movies that I'm excited about. One of them is called Bring Her Back.
Oh, yeah.
It has a really great trailer, but I also just like, it's the same guys that made Talk to Me, and I watched together last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I really liked Talk to Me, so I'm just kind of excited to see what else these guys are making. So that one's on my mind. And then there's another one called Together that I also saw a trailer for. I believe Together is an A24 movie. Let me just double check. Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. I think it just looks like an A24 movie.
All right.
I saw the trailer for that. I saw The Monkey in theaters recently. Which I totally liked a lot. With Theo James. I thought it's a Stephen King adaptation. Did you know that?
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Makes me want to see it.
It's got a really, really, really weak third act, but it's really good until the end. I still recommend it. But yeah, Together kind of has that. I saw the trailer for it when I was seeing The Monkey, and it has a little bit of that A24 kind of like horror feel. So yeah, those two kind of caught my eyes. I wouldn't say that those are ones that I'm like really anxiously anticipating. There are only three movies on my list that I'm like super excited for. But yeah, these two are ones that kind of caught my attention.
Okay. Well, I'll share another one before we get to your highly anxious, edge of your seat movies that you can't wait to see.
My big three.
This one I'm sure you want to see as well. Friendship.
Yeah. Friendship is one of my big three. Let's talk about Friendship.
Cool. Okay. I'm like really excited. Friendship with Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson. I know Tyler's been a big fan of Tim Robinson forever. I am kind of a late newcomer to being a Tim Robinson fan. I thought I Think You Should Leave was funny, but it didn't capture me right away. But I watched his show The Detroiters, which I think is so hilarious. It just really gets me, and that kind of gave me a bigger appreciation for I Think You Should Leave. And Chris, my husband, loves I Think You Should Leave and will show me random sketches that he thinks are really funny. So I can't wait to see that. I also love Paul Rudd. It's my second Paul Rudd movie that I can't wait to see in 2025.
You already said it, but I'm a massive, massive Tim Robinson fan.
Yeah.
The trailer looks so awesome. It looks so funny and weird.
It does.
I love the line in the trailer where he's like, let's go see this new Marvel movie. It looks insane. I'm really excited. Really excited to see Friendship. That's one of the big three I was just referencing when I was saying ones that I'm really, really can't wait to see. That one's definitely on the list.
Give us another one.
Another one of my big three, which I'm guessing is gonna be on your list.
I'm curious.
28 Years Later.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Ding.
Yeah, dude. I am excited for 28 Years Later.
I'm excited.
Oh my
too.
God. I would say this is my most anticipated movie of the year.
It's going to be fun. I mean, I don't, honestly, at this point, I'm not convinced that it's going to be a good movie, but I'm excited to see it.
Did you hear that it was all shot on an iPhone?
No. Okay, well, that makes it better.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of 28 Days Later. I think 28 Days Later is the most effective horror movies ever made. Yeah, is the same director's coming back, the same writer.
Oh, love it.
Writer Danny Boyle's the director. Has got just a crazy cast with Jodie.
It does.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ralph Fiennes.
Again, mentioned for the second time today.
I always thought Ralph Fiennes was in the first one, and it's actually Chris Eccleston who looks so much like him to me.
I love Ralph Fiennes.
Me too. I also love Chris Eccleston. Very, very, very excited for this one. This is the one that I'm most excited for, I think.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Did you? I never saw 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah, I saw 28 Weeks Later. Definitely wasn't as good as 28 Days Later, but it kind of scratches that itch, you know?
Right on. Okay, cool.
If you need it to be scratched.
I'm going to watch it leading up to this just to make sure I know what's going on.
Hell yeah. I'm going to rewatch them all.
I'm definitely going to rewatch 28 Days Later. Yeah, maybe we can find some corn in that and we can squeeze it into a podcast episode.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh my God, Cillian Murphy. Kill me, Murphy.
Okay, your turn.
You can cut that out. okay. Well, I have one more movie written down. And It's just Wicked for good.
Oh, yeah, duh. The next Wicked.
Yeah.
So is that the end? Are they just doing two parts?
Okay. Two parts. And they were going to call it Wicked 2, I guess, but then they were like, we don't like that. We're going to call it Wicked for Good. And if you are familiar with the music in Wicked, one of the songs and kind of like, you know, one of the peak like things in Act 2 or whatever is the song For Good. So.
Okay, right on. I did not know that, actually.
Because I knew you, I have been changed for good. No?
I've seen the Wicked musical before, and I liked it a lot, actually, but I did not remember that.
Oh,
no.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, my last movie that I'm like super, super excited for is going to have to wait, because I'm going to say three honorable mentions. My three honorable mentions.
Okay,
I'm not necessarily excited for these. I'm not necessarily excited for these movies, and they're too far away for us to have any real information on them. But three of my favorite directors are making movies this year, and I just want to quickly just call them out. Wes Anderson is making a movie called The Phoenician Scheme.
I did have that on my list.
I didn't want to put it on my list as like a real anticipated movie because I just don't know very much about it yet. It's all three of these share this trait of being very far away. Okay. So I'm not overhyped on them, but yeah. I really like Wes Anderson, so I'm excited for that.
Same.
I really like Paul Thomas Anderson, so he has a movie coming out this year called One Battle After Another. So yeah, I hope that's kind of like as good as the ones by him I've seen in the past. And I really like Edgar Wright, and he's doing The Running Man, which I also think is a Stephen King adaptation. And yeah, again, like all of these movies are just a little too far away for me to say that I'm super hyped for them, but I do like those directors, so I'm kind of like hopeful. But my real last movie that I actually am genuinely anticipating and I'm excited for is I'm actually kind of surprised this wasn't on your list. It's Sinners, Ryan Coogler's supernatural horror coming out later this year. Do you know anything about this?
I know nothing.
It stars Michael B. Jordan. He is actually playing two roles in the movie. It also has Haley Steinfeld, and it's about it's like a period piece from the 1930s. I know vampires are involved, but it's just one of those movies for me where I saw the trailer and I was just like, yeah, I am. This looks awesome. I'm excited for this.
Oh hell yeah! Right on.
I am so proud of us. We didn't have a single Marvel or DC movie on our list. I am so proud of us.
Actually, so I'm like looking at this list that I was saying on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm like every few or more than few was like a Marvel, a live action. So they're doing like a new live action Lilo and Stitch, which I like love Lilo and Stitch, like the original cartoon. And they're doing a live action where I'm kind of like, okay, but why? I don't know. There's like Paddington Goes to Peru. And there's like all these movies that I'm like, yeah, no. I'm just going to keep scrolling.
Yeah, I'm in the same page. That list, I saw the same list, I'm guessing. And a lot of that was for me, was just like all my cynicism was just like an all-time high.
Yeah.
I will say, and this is very surprising for me, I wouldn't say I'm like super anticipating this or anything because I didn't even mention it. But like the new Superman doesn't actually look that bad to me. I really like James Gunn. So like,
I'm
I don't know, maybe that's going to be okay. There's a lot of people who are like really excited for the Thunderbolts movie. A24 got involved in the production, which is interesting. But like, I don't know, man. Marvel movies are pretty much all stinkers these days. And I'm just not, I can't really get excited. I'm sorry.
No excitement will. I won't waste my energy on that.
So I asked our fans.
Mm-mm.
I reached out to our fandom. And I asked them what movies they are excited for in 2024.
Okay. Let's hear it.
The responses I got were, and we have good fans because these are good movies.
Yay.
Or we hope they're going to be good movies. The responses I got were Friendship and Death of a Unicorn.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Those are the ones that came with the most. Speaking of our fans, What do you think? Okay. What do you think if I read some fan mail? Some fan mail. We have a little bit of fan mail.
Wow.
Okay, first off, they're from all over the place. Instagram, Spotify, email, all kinds of things, right?
Okay.
Gory Rory, I'm guessing like the third on Instagram.
Roman numerals.
They wrote us and said, I fully expect a breakdown on every Children of the Corn movie.
Well, you've come to the right place, Rory, I.
I told them, I wrote them back and I said, they're going to be stoked because we plan on doing every Children of the Corn movie.
Yeah.
We're spacing them out because we want them to be special, but we plan on doing all 20 million of them someday.
Yes, 20 million. Tyler and I are actually currently in the process of consuming serum that will extend our lives indefinitely so that we can just continue to watch and discuss Children of the Corn movies.
Yeah, we're going to take the substance.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Yeah. Lady from Hades on Instagram hit us up and said...
from Hades, that's a good one.
I love that. I couldn't figure out if the podcast meant corny or corn, as in internet slang. Corn is internet slang for pornography, for people who don't know. We aren't going to cover very much porn on this podcast, I don't think.
No,
and corn,
you know, maybe a little corny, but also like corn, like the food that you
eat. We meant. We are down for corny movies. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Lily wrote us and said about our Wizard of Oz episode. I've learned so many things that I don't remember at all from this movie. Definitely going to have to give it a rewatch. And happy birthday, Steph, you beautiful Pisces.
Aw, thank you, Lily. And yes, definitely give Wizard of Oz a rewatch. It's definitely worth it.
We also got another comment from Lily because Lily is a huge loyal fan of ours.
Oh, my God.
For our episode, she said, okay, I'll watch Twin Peaks, but really, what a powerful tribute. I love this bonus episode.
She's like, okay, fine.
That's kind of how it sounds. She wasn't the only one. A friend of the podcast, really? Amanda, wrote to us and said, as someone in the minority who's never watched Twin Peaks, I'm sold.
Wow. I'm so honored.
Aren't you proud of us? Like, we did it. Like, we convinced people to watch Twin Peaks.
I'm going to fall asleep with a smile tonight.
Same here. I was really hoping that we could convince people to watch Twin Peaks, David Lynch. And I'm so glad that we were able to do that. Hey, listen. Thank you for writing us those messages. And you can always write us at Pod on the Cob, and we will always respond. So email us, write us on social media, Blue Sky, TikTok, and we will always respond. You will always get you back. That takes us to our final thing.
Yeah.
Our final thing. We have been talking a lot about Wicked tonight. Wicked has come up a bunch of times. And since I did a poll recently on Instagram and I asked our fans what Oscar, I wanted to do an Oscar movie around the Oscar season, right? For our podcast. So I asked what Oscar movies this year that were nominated had corn in them. And consistently, the only answer I received over and over again was Wicked. So we are going to do Wicked. It just feels like it's right. We just did Wizard of Oz. And now it's tied to the Oscar season. So for our next episode of Pod on the Cob, we are going to do Wicked. Stephanie will have to watch it again. And I will
Watch it again.
I'm excited to watch it. I'm genuinely excited to watch it. I've been wanting to see it. So that's what episode six of our podcast now?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Hey, that's all I have for the bonus episode. Anything you want to throw out there?
No. You guys, thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for writing in and engaging. It is extremely fun. And we love like any kind of feedback in person or social media or email. We love it all. So thank you.
Yeah, seriously. Stephanie and I would just be doing this anyways, even if people didn't listen. Because we like doing it so much, but it is so much more fun to do this, knowing that some people are listening to it. Tell your friends, spread the word, help us get even more listeners, And that's going to allow us to do this even more. The more listeners we have, the more we'll be, you know, kind of compelled to be able to do this more often. So, yeah, if you're a fan of the show, tell your friends. And thanks to all the new followers. We did get a nice little little flood of new followers recently, and very exciting. So welcome to the podcast.
Amazing. Yeah, if you guys want to send us the Oscar noms that you watched and that you liked, or whatever your opinions might be, whether anyone was snubbed, or we'd love to hear it. So feel free to write in, or if you see us in person, you can let us know.
Yep. And if you have movies that you're anticipating in 2025 that we didn't talk about, let us know, and we'll check them out. We'll make sure to mention it on the next podcast. But for now, this was Pod of the Cob. Thank you for joining, and keep cobbing on.
Peace out.